Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power and the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth, or anywhere else, for that matter, is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand, O Lord, it is to make great and to give strength to all. In thy hand, O Lord, it is to preserve our lives. And in thy hand, it is to give us victory continually through the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you. And we praise your glorious name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hopefully this morning we'll get into a short exhortation. I want to pray before I do that also. You know, I want to pray that our hearts will just open up to the Lord this morning. Lord, I pray the entrance of your word brings light, you said, and it gives understanding to the simple. May that word enter in our hearts this morning with light, light that cannot be comprehended by darkness. Let it shine in our hearts, shine all around us. Beautiful light, wonderful light, shining in and around us, through us and everything around us. Let it be lit up by the glory of the Lord. Let the weight of his glory fall upon us, even this morning. May we understand the things of the Lord, the mind of Christ, the things that are couched even in his heart this morning. Hallelujah. Let us have an understanding of his will this morning in our lives. And may the blessings of the Lord in peace, in goodness, and in mercy, may he be upon everyone in this room this morning, those who are here now, those who will join later, and those who will listen to the replays. Well, blessings and honor and glory and power and majesty and dominion be unto his name. I'm going to start here today, a story in Mark chapter 2. Today, roadblock or hurdle. You know, that's what I'll give a little exhortation, a short exhortation on that. And then we are going to see what the Lord will say to us. You know, so, is it a roadblock? Or is it a hurdle? Well, let's find out. There is a story here in the book of Mark, chapter 2. Interesting story. You know, we'll start it right from the beginning. I'll maybe read the first 12 verses or so. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. You know, so word got out that Jesus was in the house. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that amazing? You know, isn't that amazing that Jesus is in the house? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we gather together, people realize that Jesus is in the house? Jesus is in the house. And then people began to come. And straight away, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not even so much as about the door as he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one silk sick of the palsy, which was carried of four, born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Well, let's stop there and just think for a minute. So these people, they've heard that Jesus is in the house. Well, when Jesus is in the house, the power of the Lord is present to heal. But, you know, they could not find the way to get there. There are too many people all around, everywhere. They couldn't get through, and they have this little stretcher coming, bringing their friend, you know, or family member, whoever, I don't know, you know, but they're bringing him, you know, and they can't get through the crowd because nobody's going to give them way. Everybody wants to hear, see, maybe even touch him. You know, so they're thinking, how do we get in there? Nobody's making way for them. You know, so, well, maybe somebody said, well, why don't we climb up on the roof? Climb up on the roof? That's somebody else's house. You know, they might have debated it for a bit, but they are desperate. So they're going to figure out a way, not only climb up on the roof, they have to get the man. Just imagine this story. They can climb up easily, the ones that are not on the stretcher. But how do you get the man that's on the stretcher up on the roof? I mean, maybe they have to go get, you know, some ropes and just gently pull him up. A couple of them go up on the roof first. A couple, you know, guide the thing there. They tie the rope in. I mean, I don't know. It's going to take them a long time to do that. This story just glossed over it and just said it in a couple of sentences. But it's not an easy task, you know, to get somebody on a stretcher up on the roof. You know, how do you get him up on that roof? You know, and you got to tear up the roof too. You know, you can't just go and get him through the roof. I don't know what their roof was made of in those days, but, you know, this exercise of going through the roof, getting their friend up on the roof, tearing up the roof, and letting the thing down into the house, it was no easy task. You know, it was no easy task. So I want you to use your imagination to figure out all the things they had to go through, you know, to get this man into the house. Or because they couldn't get through at the door, you know. And when Jesus saw their faith, it wasn't exactly the faith of the man that was sick, but it was the faith of whoever was bringing him in. There were four of them. Jesus saw their faith, not his faith necessarily. Maybe his faith was joined in too. You know, maybe he was the one telling them, I don't know, to get him out, get me in there anyhow. You know, so who knows whose idea it was, but they figured out a way. You know, there was no way through the door. They're going to go through the roof or some other way. They're going to get in front of Jesus anyhow. You know, so Jesus, when he saw their faith, he says unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Lord knew why he said that. Because he already knew what all those, you know, religious folks were going to say. You know, so certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts say, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? You know, and so immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. And he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which one is easier? To say to the sick of the palsy, which is this man was paralyzed. That's what that means. Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. So let me ask you that are in the room today, which one is easier? I mean, if somebody comes into, let's say we're in the service and they bring somebody in on this stretcher, you know, and they're crippled, we can see that they're crippled, or maybe they're in the wheelchair and they're crippled. Which one is easier? Just to say, well, the Lord forgive your sins, or rise up and walk. Which one is easier? It's a whole lot easier to say the Lord forgive your sins, because we don't know what will happen. There doesn't need to be anything visible after that. But if you say to the guy, rise up and walk, and if he doesn't rise up and walk, my goodness, then all of a sudden, you know, all eyes are upon you when you say that. Rise up and walk. And he doesn't do that. Then, you know, it's like, people will say, well, what's happening? The power of the Lord is not present here today to heal. So Jesus said, look, it was easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven and just leave it like that. But because you are grumbling and complaining about it in your heart, so that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, then I'm going to do the more difficult one. I am going to tell the man. So he turns to the man. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Now, that word is so powerful. I mean, everybody got, you know, Jesus didn't go into the corner to go and pray. You know, he said it right there. Everybody looking at him. All eyes were on him. And immediately he arose and took his bed. My goodness. You know, went forward. And everybody was amazed. He said, wow. They glorified God and said, we have not seen anything like this before. You know, so that's the story. It's a good story to enjoy. But what's the lesson here? Well, the lesson here is that when the door is blocked, you can't get in there. You can go through the roof. Some people say when, you know, when a door closes, God will open a window. Well, these guys found a way, you know, that they can't get through the door or they're going to get through the roof one way or another. Now, let's talk about some things that we've seen. All of us have seen this. In fact, you know, I see it a lot here in Phoenix, Arizona, during the summer. I mean, you're going down this road that looks perfectly okay. The next thing you see, it's a roadblock, you know, and they, you know, they're doing some construction. And then you put a sign, a roadblock, you know, sometimes, you know, they'll give you an option. They call it a detour, you know, but, you know, most of the time, you know, they just say, you know, they just say roadblock, this and that and so forth. And then it may tell you, you may even be on a freeway and then, you know, the next two or three exits may be blocked. Then they give you a warning that, you know, those exits are blocked, you know, so a roadblock is a kind of obstacle, an obstruction, I would say, to the path of progress. You know, so you're going in this direction, all of a sudden there's a roadblock. You know, that's what an obstacle is. An obstacle is an obstruction to the path of progress. And a roadblock is like a barricade, you know, or some kind of obstruction across the road, you know, to prevent passage. You know, that's the idea of a roadblock. Make sure you don't get through, you know, so the road is blocked. You know, it may be for good, it may be for evil, I don't know, but the road is blocked. You know, I've actually even seen on TV, you know, where in a movie or something, the one road is blocked, you know, not because there's construction there, but they are faking it because they are forcing the car to go in another direction where they're going to grab him, you know. So whatever the reason is for the roadblock, it's to make somebody not go through that way and force them to either stop. There have even been roadblocks where, you know, everybody stops. They're not giving you an option to go anywhere. It's just a roadblock. Because there is an inspection. You know, everybody stops. They're looking for an escapee. And you've got to stop. There's no way. You can't go here or there. There's no option. You stop and then, you know, they're going to come through with their guns, you know, and, you know, checking everything out. They might even come with the sniffing dogs and everything. You know, so the roadblock is intended to make sure you don't get through. That's the purpose of the roadblock. You know, it's that kind of, you know, obstruction. Now let's identify some personal obstacles or some obstacles to personal success, you know, or victory, you know, that may be blocking our progress. It's like a roadblock, you know. So, but before we do that, you know, let me give you another illustration. If you were going on a trip, you left the house, you're going to the airport, you got to be there at a certain time to go get your trip, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear, you know, maybe you turn on the radio or you see the sign that such and such road is blocked, and that's the road that you must take to get to the airport. You know, what are you going to do? You know, that's the question. Are you going to turn back because the road is blocked? Or are you going to find another way you know, if you want to get to that airport and catch your flight, I guarantee you, you're not going to turn back. I mean, you may be upset that the road is blocked. You may start freaking out that, you know, you're going to be late, you know, especially if you didn't give yourself enough time, you know, to find another route. But you're not going to turn back because that road is blocked. You are going to find another way to get to where you're going. You know, you're not turning back just because the road is blocked. You know, I mean, we do these things naturally every day. You're going to work, the road is blocked. Are you going to turn back because the road is blocked? You're going to find another way to get there. You know, I mean, if we do these things naturally every day, then why is it that, you know, in some other areas, when the road is blocked, we just turn back or we just give up? You know, that road is blocked, you know, it just means that you got to find another way. You're not going to have to turn back just because the road is blocked. You know, that now there is another way also that you can look at this, because the title of this room is it a roadblock or is it a hurdle? A hurdle is something that is only a temporary blockage. You know, there's ways around a hurdle. Actually, when I was a young man, I used to do track and field, and one of my events was the 100 meter hurdles for men. You know, 110 meters. The girls did the 100 meters. You know, I loved that event, you know, and, but after a while, I didn't like it very much because every time you go to the stadium, yours was always the first event. You didn't have time to really, you know, enjoy other things or get some practice or get some warm up because they put all the hurdles there and you have to do your own event first so that they can clear the track, you know. So it's like, but I used to do that thing, you know. And if you're good at it, I mean, first you got to be a good sprinter, ground sprinter, and then you got to have a technique to go across those hurdles without hopping. Those who hop, they don't do well. You got to stride through the thing. And there's a certain number of, you know, strides between each set of hurdles, and you just scale through like that, you know. But, you know, some people knock the hurdles down, you know, some people, you know, whatever. But the thing is this, you got to finish that race. You know, I mean, you can't say, you know, there's, you know, hurdles. That's actually the name of the game. It's called hurdles. You know, so you got to hurdle over that thing, you know, and you can't, you know, it's a, you know, there's all that other things they call, you know, obstacle course. You know, they have this obstacle course. You know, it's not a sprint. Hurdles is a sprint. There's some other races that are not sprints, but they have some obstacles along the way. Steeplechase, for instance, you run a little bit, you jump over something, you get into the water, you know, the puddle of water. You, if you fall, you get up, you keep going. You see another blockage on the way. You run a few meters, you know, three quarters around the track. Then there's another big thing you got to, you know, jump over. And if you don't jump over it, if you go around it, you will actually be disqualified. You got to jump over it. You know, so now those are just natural things. Well, you know, in our lives, you know, when we have, I mean, this man, David, he said in Psalm 18 and verse 29, he said, look, by my God, I leap over walls. I run through troops. You know, I mean, this man, it doesn't matter whether it's a hurdle. I mean, he's going to jump over it or run through it or bulldoze it or whatever. I mean, but it's not going to stop him. It's not going to stop him. You know, so what is your attitude when you see a roadblock? Is it a roadblock? I mean, a roadblock can be either a dead end or it could be a detour, you know. So, what I mean is you can either see it as a dead end or that you need to look for a detour. You know, if you see it as a dead end, then you're not going anywhere. But you could just see it as a detour. Well, you know, I know that road doesn't work anymore. That road is blocked, so I got to find another way. And so that's a different kind of attitude, you know. Or, you know, there's something on my way that is trying to block me. I'm going to run over it. I'm going to get through it somehow. jump over it or get around it or whatever, but it's not going to, you know, be a hindrance. Personal obstacles to progress. You know, it could be lack of knowledge. If you didn't know, you know, I mean, if you have knowledge, you might be able to save time. You know, let's say before you left the house, you already heard that, you know, this freeway that you always take every day is blocked, you know, because there's a major accident, there's a major thing, and the thing is backed up for several hours. Or maybe your navigator tells you that. There are some of these smart navigators that are linked up to real-time satellite information, and they'll tell you that road is blocked. They may give you some other options, you know. Now, if you don't have any knowledge of it, you don't have a navigator, you didn't listen to the news, your radio is not on, nobody told you not to go down that way. I mean, I even remember, you know, just a few weeks ago, we were having an event at the church, you know, and there was all kinds of things going on here in the valley. And, you know, some dark cloud came in and everything, and accidents, you know, and roads were blocked and different things, you know, and, you know, some people, you know, some freeways were blocked and this and that, you know, and then, and it happens all the time too. You know, sometimes you're going to the church and some freeway is blocked and people will be late because of that. But if you had knowledge of it ahead of time, you know, I remember one time, you know, my wife and I were coming to church. We were driving differently, I mean, separately. And, I went through the place where we normally go through, you know, and, I had to go earlier that particular day, so we couldn't go together. But the road was blocked. I mean, there was no way. I mean, completely blocked, you know. And I figured it out, you know, of a different way. So I called her and said, that way is blocked. Don't go through there. Now, that's knowledge. Now, if you don't have the knowledge and you just go, you know, you can be stuck in traffic. You can be so late that you miss the event you're going through. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, so lack of knowledge could create an obstacle, you know. But we know that the Lord is already giving us, you know, knowledge. But do we look for that knowledge? I mean, James chapter 1 verse 6 talks to us about if a man lacks wisdom, but how he should ask God for it. I mean, so lack of knowledge may be an obstacle. Lack of wisdom may be an obstacle. Of course, unbelief. We've dealt with that in this room. I mean, I think we dealt with that majorly yesterday. You know, unbelief is another big obstacle. When the Lord said go, but the unbelief and fear rises up and say, I can't do that. You know, I can't go. You know, we talked about that, covered that yesterday in the story of the children of Israel trying to spy out the land, Numbers 13 and 14. An oppressing spirit, you know, an oppressing spirit that just, you know, oppresses the mind of the person. You can't think like a champion anymore. You know, I mean, just it's an oppressing spirit. I mean, you can't think like a winner. You can't think like a champion. Now, for the winner or the champion, roadblock is not a roadblock. It's a hurdle. They're just going to jump over it or even knock it down. You know, they're going to get through anyhow. You know, I've watched some of these movies. I've seen some cars crash through roadblocks in a car chase. They don't care. They're going to get through it anyhow. You know, so, you know, are you thinking like a champion? You know, like this man says in Psalm 18 and 29. Are you thinking like this man that can run through troops, barricade or anything doesn't even make him any difference? He's going to run through there. I mean, you put a blockage of a wall, he's going to leap over that wall. You block the road, these folks are going to come in through the roof. I mean, these are some champions that are not going to be denied. You know, a negative spirit, negativism is another one. You know, constantly practicing the act of being pessimistic, you know, is another obstacle and roadblock. You know, a pessimistic way, a mindset means we're rejecting, you know, what God has already said. Now, there are some antidotes to these things, you know. The antidote for the lack of knowledge is to know and understand the victory that Jesus has given us and obtained for us. The antidote for lack of wisdom make people be a roadblock. I mean, some people say, look, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that, you know, but they don't take time to learn and understudy this thing. I remember when I was teaching the wisdom series at the church, you know, some months ago, and I took several weeks. I talked about, look, gain the knowledge that you need. And some people say, oh, I'm going to do business, jump into it. No, gain the knowledge. That's why some people, you know, understudy, apprentice, you have this, you have that. You figure out the trade before you get in there, count the cost and so forth. You know, so, you know, unbelief, what is the antidote for that? Well, have faith in God, you know, have faith in God's promises. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he should direct your paths. An oppressing spirit. Well, oppressing spirit that oppress your mind and say you can't do that. It comes in many ways. You know, fear may be the portal that opens that up. You know, or unbelief may be the portal that opens it up. Either way, you know, you need to shake yourself from that dust. Isaiah 52:2. Self-deliverance is what you need in that case. You know, nobody can pray for anybody, you know, to for that. They can pray, but, you know, when they leave or stop praying and you are on your own, you're still going to have to deal with that discouragement, because discouragement is the one of the other hurdles that the enemy will throw up. And it's a powerful tool that the devil uses to try to discourage people, you know, being pessimistic. Instead of, you know, having a bright outlook, you know, I mean, what is the antidote for that? Well, the antidote for that is it shall be well. We've seen the story of the woman whose child died, but she said it is well and it shall be well, you know, and she wasn't going to confess anything negative with her mouth. You know, she was just going to hold on to being positive. You know, remember when our commander in chief, who is the Lord, when he tells us, go forward, you know, Exodus 14:15, the Lord told them, go forward. Well, there may be a Red Sea. We talked about this, you know, last week. We talked about your Red Sea moments and things like that. There may be, you know, all these hurdles on the way, you know, but what are you going to do? Are you just going to, you know, stop because the hurdles on the way? And as long as you stand there looking at the roadblock, it's still going to be a roadblock. You know, you have to take action. You know, in their case, they had to go forward, you know, and the Red Sea opened up for them, you know, but as long as, you know, you don't go forward, it was just to be a Red Sea. You have to take action. You may have to go around it. You may have to climb the mountain. You know, I mean, Jesus said, look, you know, if you have faith, you say to this mountain, you know, be thou removed and cast to the sea. Well, there are times when you must go around that mountain. There are times where you must climb that mountain. You know, whatever it is, if you need to get to the other side and that mountain is in your way, you tell it to move and it doesn't move, what are you going to do? You know, you're either going to climb the mountain, go around it or something. If it's a barricade that's easy enough to use for you to bulldoze, you bulldoze the thing, get it out of your way. If you can't, then you find another way around it. You know, but the last thing you want to do, or the thing you don't want to do, is let that barricade or that roadblock stop you dead in your tracks. You know, it's a hurdle. You got to jump over it and you got to keep going. Isaiah 62:10 says, go through, you know, go through the gates, all these you know, roadblocks and things like that, go through them, you know, one way or another. You know, praise God. You know, or even, you know, the scriptures even command that gates should open up, you know, for you. You know, gates must open up for you. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, you know, O ye gates, in Psalm 24. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Praise the Lord. Who is this King of Glory then? Well, we know who he is. He's the Lord mighty in battle. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. So the attitude that we want to have today is a winning attitude. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 2, the Lord even commands the gates to open up for you. You know, open ye the gates. Well, who's going to open the gates? Well, maybe the Lord will send some angel to open. Maybe by your faith, you will open it. Whichever way, you know, don't, no closed gate must be a roadblock. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Well, you know, and, you know, he said, look, thou will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, my goodness. So today, I am going to decree some opening of some gates. That's right. But then you are going to see when you say, when the scripture says, go through in Isaiah 62 and 10, go through, you know, the gates, you know, lift up a standard for God's people. That's a banner, you know, but when the Lord commands and we open the gates, then you got to go through. You can't just stand there. You got to go through, you know, so. Here's another illustration. You see a door, a big door, you know, that says, and it's closed. And it says, well, whosoever will, let him enter herein. You know, now a lot of people will come up to that door and look at the door. Well, this door is closed. It may even look like it has a lock to it. You know, we don't know yet, but it looks locked from the outside. It's, we just don't know. Some people may actually try to see if it can open. Others may just walk away because the door is closed. You know, but the inscription is, whosoever we let him come through, enter herein. Well, whosoever we, that's the same thing even for salvation. That's the invitation that God gives. We don't know who's going to enter in, but God knows. Everybody may stand there. Some people may just pass that door by and just go. They may go and then they may come back and check it out, you know. So, but some people may even dare to try to open that door. Open that door. See what's on the other side. Check this thing out. And when they get to the other side, my goodness. The door automatically closes behind them. And then you look back and it says, you have been chosen on the door. On the one side, it says, whosoever will. You know, at the front, you don't, only God knows who's actually going to go through that door. So there's a big invitation for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come through these doors. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that door by me. If any man enters in, he shall be saved. But it's there, whosoever we. But will they enter in? We don't know. Now, when you get into the other side, though, on the other side of the door, it says, you have been chosen. My goodness. So nobody really knows that they were chosen until they pass through that door. But blessed is the man whom thou choosest. You know, Psalm 65 verse 4 says, chooses and causes to approach unto you. Well, I say, blessed is the man whom thou inspires to go through the gates and stop at nothing. Glory to God. Because your commander in chief already said, go through. You know, so that is going to be our short exhortation today. But I want to do a declaration against some gates. And there are many gates and there are many hurdles. But this is, you know, a subtitle for this might be Open Ye the Gates, you know, that the righteous nation may go in. You know, so, but, you know, this one is a good one too. What is your perception? Do you see the blockage and the roadblock as a dead end? Or will you look for a detour? You know, so that's the story here this morning. Psalm 107, verse 15 and 16. He says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken, because the reason he is lamenting and wanting people to really praise the Lord is because the Lord has broken the gates of brass. He had cut in sunder all the barricades of iron, cut them and broken them. Now it's left for you to go through. Hallelujah. There's a song we sing like that. You know, oh, that man would praise the Lord. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men, for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. He has broken the gates of brass. And torn asunder the bars of iron. Sunder. He has broken the gates of brass. And caught the bars of iron. So the Lord has broken the gates of brass. He has broken the barricades. He has made a way for us to get through. You know, even in spiritual things, there was a big barricade. It can't go in there, they said. You know, there was this veil that kept everybody out. The priest said, you guys are not holy enough to come in here. And the people said, well, you know, I can't go in there. And they say, no, you can't. And then so the people say, well, I can't. You know, it's called the veil. And there was many layers of veils. You know, after the outer court, you come in, you know, and then you see the veil into the holy place. And the veil is to keep people out. You know, that veil says you cannot get in there. You're not good enough. You know, and then the people say, yeah. We can't go in there, but we're not good enough. So, and on the other side, those who can go in there, they say, well, yeah, you know, maybe they think they are good to be in there. So you've got a two-sided veil. On the one hand, a sin consciousness keeps people out. On the other hand, a self-righteousness. Those who are there think that they are there by their own power. Either way, it's a veil that needs to be done away with. And then you go into the other veil also. You know, you're about to go in there. You're in the holy place now. But there's yet another veil that you must cross. And what is that veil? Well, you know, they can't go in there too. They're told, even the Levites that can go into the first one, they're told, you can't go in there. Only the high priest can go in this place. Well, and the reason they can't go in, there's another blockage. There's all kinds of things that are blocking them. First, it was, even if you go behind that, you know, if you go even outside beyond the camp, it's called a profane place. The profane place is the Gentiles. They can't even come inside the camp. You know, three tribes on either side, I mean, east, west, north, south, three tribes to form the border. The Gentiles cannot come in there. Or the Jews can go in. But the general populace can only go so far. They cannot go in beyond that first, they can't even cross that first veil because they are kept back by sin consciousness. They say, well, we can't go in there. Okay. You know, so, and then the ones that could go in there, well, they can't get into the other one either. And here is something to think about. Sin consciousness will keep you out. Yeah. And then when you get into the other place too, the other thing that keeps people out from pressing into, I've switched this thing now. The other thing that keeps people out from pressing deeper into the glory of God is need consciousness. N-E-E-D. Need consciousness. You know, say, oh, you know, when God is really saying, come on in here. And they say, oh, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this, Father, give me that. That's all we pray about. You know, so we don't really know how to get through. But David knew. David knew. It was like, look, you can't come in here. This, there's, you know, there's nothing for you to eat here. This is holy bread. And David said, no, it is indeed common bread. You know, give it to us already. Hallelujah. So he wasn't going to let all this, you know, veil of stuff and this and that keep him back. And Jesus hanging upon that cross, that one incredible day when God will change the story forever, the veil of the temple was rent from the bottom, I mean top to the bottom. My goodness. That's it. They've broken every chain. Broken even veils, even rent the veils, the thing that was keeping us out. Now we can go in. Hallelujah. Now that's a spiritual going in. Well, in physical going in, it's the same way. You know, you must press in. Paul said, look, I press toward the mark. You know, I'm not going to let whatever is in the past hold me down. You know, victories of the past, failures of the past, it doesn't matter. It's the past. Today, I move forward. Glory to God. And I remember some laws that I covered when I was teaching the lessons on the pillars of wisdom at our church. The law of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, you will never be better today than you were yesterday if you fail to move past the past. Whether that past was success or whether that past was quote unquote failure. Whichever way, until you move past that, you'll never be better than that. Even those who have accomplished anything, if they don't move past that, they will never be better than that. That's what Paul said. I count not myself to have obtained or attained. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward toward the mark. You know, so, and other people may be because of disappointment, failure, discouragement, whatever, you know, and I'm still looking on that. Well, either way, as long as you're looking at that, you will never be better than that. You know, so you got to move forward. Great men and women that achieve incredible things, they don't rest on their oars. While they achieve something, but they got to do one more. They got to be better. They got to do something better. Everybody, you know, and if you had disappointments or, you know, challenges in the past, we can't stop there. We got to do something better. So we will never be better than we were if we don't keep moving forward. So we got to keep moving forward. And there's always going to be roadblocks. There's always going to be the giants along the way. There's always going to be these thoughts that come in and say, you can't do that. Can't you see the giants? Well, yeah. Nobody can actually prevent those thoughts from coming into their head. We don't have the power to do that. What you do have the power to do is how you're going to react when those thoughts come. The Bible says that even that devil brought some thoughts to Jesus. He said, well, you know, jump down over here. Turn this stone to bread. Do this and do that. Yeah, just thoughts that he would plant in his mind. So, you know, everybody would get his thoughts. People say, look, you cannot prevent the birds of the air from flying over your head. You can't. What are you going to do about it? But you can certainly prevent them from landing on your head. You know, so those thoughts of, I can't do that, will come. But you got to shake those thoughts. Glory to God. You got to shake them away. And you got to say, yes, I can. Because I can do all things. Glory to God. Philippians 4:13. Through Christ that strengthens me, I can run through troops. Psalm 18:29. I can leap over walls. You know, you put up a roadblock for me, I will bulldoze it down or find another way around it, but it's not going to stop me. You know, I'll just see it as a hurdle, something I must jump over. You know, add it to my diadems on my crown. Every hurdle you go over, that you overcome like that, it's another jewel in your crown. You know, but if you faint, the Bible says in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24:10, it says, then your strength is little. If any roadblock, which is intended to be a blockage on the path of progress, if that roadblock succeeds in discouraging you, then your strength is little. So you got to come back to the Lord for more strength. If thou faint in the day of adversity, then thy strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. You know, so we cannot let it be like a roadblock that creates a dead end. For me, it's a hurdle. If it's there, I'm going to jump over it. You know, or I'm going to get around it somehow. Or even bulldoze it. Don't stand in my way because I'm coming through. You know, I am coming through. Glory to God. Glory to God. You stand in my way, I'm gonna run you over. I'm coming through. That's a notice. I'm serving notice to the devil. Don't stand in my way, because I'm running you over. You know, if you stand in my way, you know, I'm gonna run you over. But you're not going to prevent me from going where I'm going. You know, first of all, I know where I'm going, and I'm going to get there. And if the way I thought to get there didn't work, and I'm going to find another way. But by all means, my goodness, I am going to get there. You know, I'm not going to allow these things that are blocking. Remember, I gave you a definition for obstacle. It's an obstruction to the path of progress. You know, you're moving in this direction and there's an obstacle right there. You know, and a roadblock is the same kind of thing. It's a barricade or an obstruction across a road. You know, you're going and then there's a roadblock. You know, something that you just seems like you cannot get past through it. And all of these things, the purpose is to prevent passage. You know, prevent you from going through. That's the purpose. But God said, go through. Glory to God. Go through. Now, so that's going to be our prayer this morning. And I'm ready to pray right now. Glory to God. I'm ready to pray in the words of Isaiah 62:10. It's going to be my first prayer point this morning. And then I'm going to release it to people to give their reactions. But first, I'm going to take a few minutes here and pray this prayer over the room. Lord, I thank you this morning because of your word, because you have commanded us to go through. Go through. Go through the gates, he said. Well, prepare you the way of the Lord. Cast up the highway. You know, go through any hurdles, any barricades, whatever it is. Go through it this morning in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And let no roadblock stop you from getting to where you are going. If there's a roadblock there, look for a detour. Glory to God. But you're not going to turn back home. You're going to work. You know, just because the road is blocked, are you going to turn back or you just going to stand there for the rest of the day and not go forward? No, you're not turning back. You're not going to stand there. You're going to find another way around that roadblock to get to where you're going. Glory to God. You know, so that's our prayer this morning, that you must go through and you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You know, you got to keep moving. You can't stop. You know, you gotta keep moving because the Lord is always moving. You know, and when the Lord is moving and you are stopped, you know, then it is almost as if relatively you've gone backwards. I mean, if you are walking with somebody and you are going together and one person stops, but the other person keeps going, the one that stops is almost as if they went backwards, because the next thing you know, there's this gap and gap and gap because the other one kept going. So even stopping is like going backwards. And the scripture says, look, you know, my soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back unto perdition. Even in spiritual things, we cannot, you know, we cannot be blocked. We cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. We got the Captain of the hosts in front of us that tells us to go forward. So Father, I come against, in the name of Jesus, the roadblocks this morning. Glory to God. You know, bring knowledge and understanding to your people to overcome the roadblock of lack of knowledge and lack of wisdom. Bring faith in the hearts of your people today through hearing this word and hearing the word of God. Overcome unbelief and fear. Hallelujah. Let the people arise this morning and stir themselves up and awake and arise from the dust. In the words of Isaiah 52 and 2 this morning, shake yourself, you know, from the dust and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. You do it yourself. You know, that helps us to get over the oppressing spirits that come in the mind, oppress the mind and so forth. And let's take care to be careful against negativism. That's another roadblock. You know, how do you overcome that? By repeating God's word. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So Father, we love you and we thank you this morning. And when the door is blocked, we're going to either go through the roof or find some other way, but we will not stop this morning. Hallelujah. I will not stop. I will not stop. You know, nothing is going to stop us when the commander has said, go forward. Glory to God. Go forward. Thank you, Jesus. And just because the Lord said, go forward, doesn't mean there's going to be no barricades. In fact, as a matter of fact, that's exactly when there will be barricades along the way. You know, because the enemy is going to try to make sure that you don't go anywhere, you know, but remember the word that the Lord spoke, go forward. And because the Lord said, go forward, and you take that bold step, thy way shall be opened up before thee, step by step. Thy steps shall not be straightened in front of you in the name of Jesus. The Lord will guide every step that you take. All you have to do is look and see his footsteps already ahead of you. Just put one foot in each of his footsteps. That's already ahead of you because he already gone ahead. And go through the barricades, go through the hurdles. I mean, the roadblock, jump over it, hurdle over it, whatever it takes. Let no roadblock keep you back. in Jesus' name. Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Yaro, and I am going to yield my mic to those that are in the room. I want to share their thoughts on what we are doing here this morning. And then corporately, we will pray before we get out of the room together. God bless everyone. So if you are on stage, I hope that you can speak. We're going to go to the people that are on stage first. And then anyone that's in the audience, please, if you want to come and give your reaction to this, come to the stage or put something in the chat room. And thank you for those who have been, Sister Grace, thank you for sharing the scriptures. Lady Ebon, thank you for sharing the scriptures. You've been amazing this morning, both of you sharing those things. So I thank you. Let me look in here and see if anybody posted any thoughts or comments. Okay, thank you for those scriptures. Now, it is time for us to get some reaction in the room. Remember, hear a little, there a little. I've given my little part. Now, it's your turn to give your little part so that others may also be blessed by your voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Lady Ebon first. Good morning again, honey. Are you speak?
Good morning. I would like to come last, okay? Good morning. I'd like to come last. Someone else can go first.
That's fine. We'll come back to you. All right. Who else is on the stage that wants to go? Alexis, would you like to go? Give your reaction and your thoughts and your declaration.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Yato. Today, the word was really awesome as usual. I just wanted to say, you know, when there are obstacles or hurdles, I think that's something that actually that challenges our faith. And it really tests our faith to trust God to get us through. Because it's in His Word, you know, it's in His Word. He's prepared us with the tools that we need to trust Him and to remember His Word. All we have to do is remind Him of what He said and actually believe it and continually, you know, recite the Word so that it can penetrate in us. One of the scriptures I always refer back to is to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I think that's Deuteronomy 31. You know, so we have to just remember the Word, always remember the Word, because everything in this life, God has gave us the blueprint. He's gave us the tools and the resources to get through it. If we just trust Him, if we just continually stay in the Word, and that's something I've had to learn in my walk with Christ. You know, we sometimes I think, you know, we turn to, you know, other people, you know, and a lot of times God wants us to just trust Him and just simply come back to Him. You know, I'm just grateful that I'm able to use the Word and understand it and be able to apply it in my life and also encourage others to use it. And just, you know, this message today is really just reinforcing, you know, the Word of the Lord. So I'm grateful, and I just every day I hear from the Lord. And it just brings me back to, you know, what He said and what His promises are. So that's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Alexis, for sharing your thoughts. Yes, God has given us the tools. He has equipped us for the journey. You know, I mean, Jesus, you know, the Bible says that, look, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges. And Jesus told his disciples, said, look, when I sent you forth before, even though I told you not to take this and that, did you actually lack anything? He said, no, because he got us covered. You know, we just need to know that he has commanded us. He said, have I not commanded you? Be strong. He told Joshua. He told all these people. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. It is the Lord thy God that doth go with you, whithersoever thou goest. Deuteronomy 1:31-6 and 8 says, he will go with you. He will never lead you. He will never forsake you. And he will not fail you. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Sister Titi Layo, God bless you. Welcome.
Amen, 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 sir. Thank you so very much. Thank you for the... And I really want to thank God for all that you are doing, sir. We really appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Again, my thanks and glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been so, so faithful. He abided faithful and he has prevailed. This teaching of today, it's really packed and we are so thankful. For me, I just want to thank God because in wisdom, the Lord has actually finished the work. And he did not leave us as an orphan. He actually came inside of us to indwell us. And that's where the victory started. Ourselves, we really can't. We can't go through the order by ourselves. We can't go through the roadblock by ourselves. We need is an inner strength. And thanks be to God, who in his wisdom did not leave us as an orphan. He came and dwelt in us as a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we acknowledge him even at this meeting today. We acknowledge him in our lives every day. So he has actually written the story of the children of Israel. They were faced with faced with Red Sea and the way. There was a time they were faced with, the water was bitter and there was nothing they could drink. What did he do? He changed the situation and the bitter water turns to pleasant water. Again, he taught us about what happened in the story of the Jericho. They couldn't get in. No one could go in. No one could come out. Everywhere was shut down. But God made a way. The mountain became flat. So we thank him because God has prevailed already. And for me, when I was thinking about the new creation, really, in 5:17, when it says, if any man be in Christ, this man now is a new creation. So this new creation, which we are, and we are, is a new creation that's called the life of God inside of him. A new creation that received the breath of life. The breath that he breathed into us was the breath that conquered Satan, conquered death, conquered poverty, conquered lack and limitation, conquered sickness. So this life that is inside of us has overcome everything. And I remember when the Bible says we are more than conqueror. If really we are going to have that title, then it then means that there will be situation that we have to conquer. So all the things that are all the roadblocks are actually a stepping stone. They are not to deter us or stop us from getting to where God has destined us to be. Because by the way, he has seen the end from the beginning. And he has called us, he has foreknown us, he has chosen us in himself. So we are just here, we are not part of this kingdom. Our own kingdom is a different kingdom entirely, the kingdom of the Lord and of Jesus Christ. And so we are very grateful for who we are, and we just continue to trust God that we will walk in this righteousness, in this reality of this truth, reality of this revelation of who we really are. Because he said he has made us a little lower than the Elohim, according to the TPT translation of Psalm 8 verse 5. So if we are a little, we are actually higher than the angels. Because I was listening to the previous teaching about the ministry of angels and about the, on the scroll, and I realized that indeed we are more than, we are higher than the angel of them, and so we are above the angels, and we thank God because God has made us a little lower than himself, and as he is, so are we in this world. So we are in charge, literally, we are above. Of course, when things happen and things will keep happening, I mean, we can't stop that. But we, one thing you said that was very glaring was that we cannot stop the bird from flying, but I will stop him from perching, making a nest on my head. So we need to be conscious of that, that we cannot allow any bird to make a nest on our head. We are in charge. We've been given dominion mandates to be multiplied, to be fruitful, to subdue the hurts, and to be in charge. So we are just this hurts. As he is in heaven, we are in control of this earth. And but whatever comes our way, like that song that you sang when we thank God he has prevailed, he has broken, he has cut the bars of iron asunder, he has prevailed, the lion has prevailed. And because he prevailed, we are more than a conqueror, we are winning. And so we just pray that Lord will continue to remind us to walk in this reality, to walk in this consciousness of this truth, and use that to forge ahead and, you know, share that within our world, to the people around us, to encourage them as well, that whatever it is that they are going through, that is just a passing phase, they're just going through it, they are not going to be embedded into it, not going to be buried into it, they will pass to the other side. Like Jesus said, let's move to the other side. Right. So we will definitely move to the other side of glory where the Lord himself will come and where we'll meet him in the air. But whilst we are here on earth, continue to rule, we'll continue to reign, knowing fully well that what those things trust more of our God and walk with God the more, knowing fully well that he has prevailed and he has given us the breath of life, breath that is unstoppable, breath that cannot be subdued, breath that has got dominion, be in charge, and we thank God. So thank you so much for this privilege and this honor. Thank you for being there always and keeping the fire burning. It is indeed a privilege, and I really appreciate you, sir, Ma, and for everybody. Thank you. I will yield my mic to someone else. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. Look, you know, the blessings and trials, you know, they are an inseparable package. They go together. The hurdles and roadblocks and all of these things, whichever way you see it, it's an inseparable, they're in an inseparable package with the you know, journey, which is like an obstacle course, a steeplechase race. It's not really a sprint. You know, you got to jump through so many hoops, you know, but it's part of the deal. It's part of the package. You can't have one without the other. You know, so that trial of your faith, you know, 1 Peter 1, I think 7 talks about it. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, you know, though it be tried with fire. Well, let me read it from verse 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials. I like the word trials there better. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, you know, it says that whom we have not yet seen physically, but we love him, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of our soul. So it's a total package. you know, you can't have one without the other. And that package has been there since the beginning when God said, let there be light. But he did not rebuke the darkness. If he had rebuked the darkness and said, let the darkness be no more, then we would not have had any darkness. But he did not. He just commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. But he left the darkness in place. And he even gave a name to the darkness. Bible says he called it night. And he called the light day. So God had a purpose for leaving the two of them side by side. That purpose is described in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. Where it says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice, but in the day of adversity, consider. You know, so there's always going to be smooth sailing and there's always going to be adversity. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be all kinds of things on the way. And he says, consider, because God has set one over against the other. You know, he has left them side by side to the end that we should not find anything but him. We always come back to him, give us victory during the days of challenges. You know, give us victory through the roadblocks and so forth. But we got this, and I like the way Sister Titulayo said it. You know, we got this in us already. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, that's how Paul put it. He said, I can do all things through Christ who's in me. And remember, it's not by might, nor by power. Even though we do speak, we understand that it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. We understand that, you know, completely. What God has given us, oh my goodness, we must exercise that. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. You know, but that Spirit is in us, is the enabler. And he has enabled us, you know, to, you know, get the job done. Hallelujah. And we must keep going. We must go through the troops. We must leap over walls. Get through the hurdles. The door is closed. Go through the roof. Find something else. Find some other way to get there. You know, unless the Lord says, stop. You know, but as long as the Lord has said, go forward. And you are going forward. And you see all these things on the way. Yeah. Those are the challenges. Those are the, you know, testings and trials that go along with the blessing that is waiting for you. And each time you cross through all those, there will be a time of respite once you get a victory. And then something else will come up and you got to keep getting victory and keep moving forward until we get to the promised land. So thank you so much for sharing and God bless you. I think we've gone through all the people in the room now. So, Oni, it's your turn.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. This is uplifting. You know, I thank you for emphasizing, you know, the gates. We have physical gates and we also have spiritual gates. And God has given us, by his grace, we can bulldoze those gates open. You know, when the enemy tried to lock the gates on us, we can, with prayer, open those gates spiritually and enter in and go through and go through. So I thank God for the encouragement. God bless you so much, honey, for this exhortation and continue to increase you more and more. We know that it's a sacrifice, but God has given you the will to do this. And it will continue to sustain you health-wise and in every area. We thank God for this room. It's a room of encouragement, a room where people come and they're uplifted. They have what it takes, you know, to face the day and to continue. And we thank God for this time that God has called for to begin to go back to his word. To begin to see the power that is in the word of God, you know, power to do all things. God has given us, put it in our hands. So we really bless the name of the Lord. Glory and honor be unto him. So I really appreciate this time that we are in the presence of the Lord. God bless you, and I'm going to mute my mic. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let me acknowledge everybody that's in the room before we go to a round of prayers to close the room. Samantha, God bless you. Eforma, God bless you. Kerry and Brother Charles, God bless you. Sister Grace, Brother Kolapo, Brother Gwinga, all of you, God bless you all that are in the listening lounge. Sister Julia, she said she couldn't speak today. That's fine. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Nonetheless, Sister Titi Layo, thank you for your contribution. Sister Alexis, thank you for your contribution as well. Annie, thank you for being here. So we thank everybody. Sister Grace, again, thank you for posting those scriptures. Also, my wife posted some as well. And all of you, we thank you for being here. We're going to take the next few minutes. We'll be closing at the top of the hour. But in the next few minutes, we want to pray. Hallelujah. We want to pray that the Lord will help us to see roadblocks, not as roadblocks, but hurdles. Something we got to jump over. A roadblock sometimes may just be, I don't want to see it as a dead end. It's not a dead end. I got to find another way. That's all we're saying here today. Just because there's difficulties and so forth doesn't make it a dead end. But I got to find another way. And, when we are calm in our spirit, God will show us the other way. One thing we don't ever want to do, and again, this is, even in natural things, when people panic, when we panic, God can't really speak to us. He will be speaking, but we won't hear him because we're just panicking. But when we are calm, that will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Let's look at, we're going to use this scripture to pray now. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 is what we're going to use to pray this morning. Remember, this is again a prayer fire room. We got to pray the right way to get that fire of God, to get action from God. Philippians 4 says, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the next verse says, and the peace of God. So God will give you an answer of peace. Now, and the peace of God, it also means, this verse also means, Philippians 4:7, also means that God has empowered you and given you the victory, and he knows that you can handle the situation. Whatever it is, he knows you can handle the situation. So God has invested inside of us that power to handle the situation, and we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace even through anything. Jesus said, look, in the world, John 16 and 33, ye shall have tribulation and testings and trials and roadblocks and what have you. But be of good cheer. I've already gone ahead of you. I've overcome for you. Just follow in my footsteps. So the peace of God, through the storms and through the tempests, even in the eye of the storm, God will give us the peace. And when we see those obstacles suddenly jump up in the way, when you're going down the road before, you didn't see it, every road looked clear. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's right there in front of you. Yeah. In that moment, peace. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Isaiah 46 and 10. We got to be still and know that the Lord, he is God. Glory to God. So when we are still, then we have the opportunity to hear his voice. You cannot know unless you are still, praise God, hallelujah. So be still and know that I am God. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still and know. So that's our prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, O Lord God Almighty, that there will be calmness and a stillness in our hearts, to be still and know that you are God, to stand still and see your salvation, even in the face of obstacles, that will be empowered from the inner man, even as you have said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that in the inner man will be empowered to take on any obstacles, to jump over the roadblocks, to run through troops, leap over walls, because the Lord, it is that doth go with us. He will not fail us, and He will not forsake us. So Father, I enable every hand here. I say, God has made my hands, strengthen my hands to war, my fingers to fight. With my hands, I can even bend a bow of steel. My goodness. I mean, this man, nothing, it's not going to stop at anything. So Lord, I thank you. Enable our hands, Lord, today. Bend bows of steel. Enable our minds to be strengthened. I declare that our minds are clear in the name of Jesus. Our minds are still in the words of Psalm 46 verse 10. In the words of Psalm 46 verse 10, we declare that we are still this morning to know that you are God. Hallelujah. And we declare that the word of the Lord that He has given us throughout all the scriptures, we declare that our word is alive in our heart today as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We declare today that there is nothing that is impossible with God. Neither shall anything be impossible to us because we believe Him. Glory to God. We declare today that we go forward and that we run through troops and leap over walls. Glory to God. We declare victory in our minds, victory in our lives, victory in our businesses, victory in our enterprises, and everything that our hearts set to do in the name of Jesus. And all these, initial setbacks, we declare today that God will set us up for even a greater comeback in the name of Jesus. Let the setbacks, let God put His spirit upon you to see each setback as an opportunity for a greater comeback. Glory to God. So Father, we thank you this morning as we go into the day. We go in the strength of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because we shall not be dismayed. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We go from victory to victory and from glory to glory, from success to success in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout out, O ye heavens. Glory to God. In the words of Isaiah 44 and 23, shout, O ye heavens. Break forth even into singing. Glory to God, ye lower parts of the earth. For the Lord has already done it. Not that He will do it. He has already done it. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree that is therein. For the Lord hath redeemed me. Put your name there. Glorified Himself in my life. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretch forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth out the earth by myself. I frustrated the tokens of liars, And every barricade that the enemy has put in front of you, the Lord frustrate them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Every device of the devil that he has put, the Lord frustrate them. The hands that have gathered together against you, the Lord frustrate them as well. In the name of Jesus. And lift up your head and go through. Let the King of Glory who is going ahead of you continue to be your glory. And they lift that up your head in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, keep the fire burning. Men and brethren, brothers and sisters, let's keep the fire burning. Let's burn wood upon it every morning. And let the fire now go out. If that fire is trying to go out, then get up, find some more wood, put it on the fire, trim the lamp, do whatever it takes. Keep that fire burning. Keep searching the promises of God. Be persuaded of them. Embrace them. Start confessing them for yourself as we go through the day. God bless you. It's been a powerful morning again. I look forward to, you know, blessings all day long. You know, I'm looking for a blessing of the Lord all day long. And so for every one of you, thank you all so much for joining. We are going to be closing the room now. And I pray that you all have a wonderful day. And we'll come back. We'll be here back again by the grace of God tomorrow morning, 4:15 a.m. Pacific time. And that's 12:15 p.m. UK time or Nigeria time, and 7:15 a.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. You know, blessings, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And this room will now close in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon, wherever you are. God bless you.